We are back. It's Channel 9 Live. We're in San Francisco at Build with my new best friend, Adam Lehman from Adobe. How are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Seriously, like, you don't know that we're best friends now?
After that conversation.
It is going to happen. It is going to happen. You have shown me amazing stuff that we're now going to share with folks here. Let's see what's going on. So first, let's talk about announcements. People at Build, man, they're just getting free stuff left and right. What's the deal?
It's kind of been insane, hasn't it?
Here, you have a service.
I was like jamming my luggage closed, trying to get everything back in here.
You got the stuff?
Oh, yeah, I got the stuff.
Oh, that sucks.
Pays to not be an employee.
Yeah, really, dude. Been a nice job. So they got some tablets and stuff, but they also got software.
Lots of software
from Adobe.
Tons of software. So yesterday we were really happy to share the Creative Cloud with all the Microsoft developers here at Build. And so that's kind of a big deal.
So talk to me about that. What do I get when I get Creative Cloud?
Basically, almost everything we make. I mean, the Creative Cloud is all of our products thrown in together. You guys can see my screen here. I'm logged in just to kind of show you what the download center is. When people say, all right, everything from Adobe, you're probably assuming Photoshop, Illustrator. But the reality is there's pretty much everything. If you're doing anything creative at all on a computer, we've got probably some software for you.
So if we switch to your screen here, we've got Premiere and we've got Audition, which I use Audition for my podcast.
Yep.
So this is like MSDN for designers.
Exactly. Exactly what it is. A nice subscription fee. And everybody here gets it for a year. So do whatever you want with it. You've got it.
That is sweet. Except for me.
Except for you. But I'm sure we can get you something.
All right. That's
cool. I can hook it up.
Very cool. Rock on. So I'm a web guy, though. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've been talking about Azure. I've been talking about the web. What do you have as far as web stuff?
So we've been doing a lot. You know, probably our traditional tools of like Dreamweaver and lots of web designers
love
are using
Dreamweaver.
Our older tools like Photoshop or Illustrator. But we've been working on some more cutting edge tools. In fact, we've enabled them the edge tools and services that are mostly for more modern web designers and developers. Mm-hmm. And so if you actually go through here some of the acronym soup, you'll kind of find one of them.
So Edge is the brand? Adobe Edge, those are web tools?
Right. So we started with Edge Animate, which was a full-blown animation tool just for HTML animation. So you know, we've been doing a lot with Flash over the years. We have Flash Pro. But we wanted to basically start from the ground up doing something specifically for HTML. And so this basically allows you to offer our authors some really, really high-end HTML content. So, you know, basically mastheads and all the sort of things you'd want to put on your site to have that interactivity. So that's where we started. Then we started getting into some other ones. And one of the ones I wanted to show you today was Reflow, which is basically a new visual design tool that really understands web design. So, you know, we've been using Photoshop, we've been using Illustrator, even some InDesign for quite a while. And it's gotten us by, and in fact, lots of people use it. I've been using it for like 15 years. But when we started getting into multi-screen, multi-form factors, we started having a lot of problems with the workflow, right? Because you can imagine before I'd just open up a Photoshop file, I'd have my desktop view, and then I'd be good, right?
Right.
But now it's like, well, what's this supposed to look like on mobile? And I'd hand that over to the developer, and he'd have to try to interpret, how do I squeeze this
Right, and how many breakpoints do you have as far as your responsive design?
So if you're using Photoshop today, probably what you're going to do is open up a new Photoshop file. Make a smaller one, make another smaller one. Right. And so you end up with like these 20 files that are completely disconnected, and the content's not there. So we thought we could sort of address that, and that's kind of where Reflow comes in. So Reflow is a design tool that we've built from the ground up in JavaScript, HTML, and CSS. So we put a really thin native wrapper around it, but the real idea is that we want the canvas that you're designing in to be as close to the fidelity of the browser as possible.
So these controls on the left here, that's JavaScript.
It's all JavaScript behind the hood.
Wow, okay.
And again, it's because, you know, when we're looking at a font here, that's a web font. That's exactly what it's going to look like in the browser. If we were in Photoshop, we're using a desktop font, and it might be close, but it's not going to be the same fidelity. If I apply a drop shadow here, it's a CSS drop shadow.
So why write the renderer all over again?
Exactly.
Use the renderer we're already using.
And so that's where this design comes in. And of course, because we're making it specifically for web design, we can actually do a lot more things to exploit that. So this is an example file that I've got here, just a simple site. The first thing you'll note is about our focus on responsive design. So I've got actually all these breakpoints and media queries that I've already set up. So this is like what it's going to look like at 1240. Right? But as I start to get down, I can actually see what it's going to look like on a phone. And it gives the designer full control over that. And like you can actually see a lot of the subtleties that we've done with this design where maybe the title is over here, but when I get down to this size, it doesn't make sense to have that big title. We switch over to a different menu. Now the cool thing is again, all HTML under hood, we're designing it understanding the canvas. When I actually start to look at the structure, you're looking at HTML DOM, right? I can actually start highlighting it out. Let me go back here for a second so you kind of see. But I can actually start navigating through this. In the background, you'll kind of see some of these things pop. Mm. And if I say, you know what, maybe I don't want that title, I'll just go make it go away. and basically so a display none on it.
Is that display none then for that breakpoint?
Exactly, just for that breakpoint.
Well, you know, like sometimes when I'm doing a visual design tool, I think there's an inherent distrust. You know, it may have been a front pageism or something, but this idea that if I'm in design view, the resulting HTML is going to suck.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? How do I mean, I'm already afraid, like,
and so that's
you just changed something.
Right? Now, what you're not seeing here is me hitting a magic button and you're getting a website. This is still in the same sort of a visual design tool like Photoshop Illustrator to communicate that design intent to a developer. Right?
Okay.
Before I would have handed over a Photoshop file, he'd have to open it up and dissect it, right? Still the same sort of idea, except now we can put a lot more information in here, and they actually understand a bit. Now, we do put a little code in here behind to help out, right? So if I wanted to, like, see how we're styling that, can actually go and see the CSS behind there. And so while we're not going to go and generate your project for you, I can go and grab these little pieces and start putting them in the right places in my application.
Now, I noticed that you've got some color highlighting here as well. You've got your default style sheet, but then you're showing me that...
the different breakpoints.
So you've actually pulled those from all
queries.
Over the place, because this is what happens with CSS,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
We start out with this master plan,
yep.
And it just goes to heck
yep.
at the end.
Exactly. And so, yeah, so here we're showing that only thing on these two media queries, something changed. Like, we made the font size a little bit.
Can you just edit that now?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Not yet.
But, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, we're really trying to focus this on the design aspect of things. And, you know, we have our development tools, but we want to give a better way to communicate that intent.
Mm.
Like, this is what we wanted it to look like, and the developer can take it and run with
it. I see. So this is not where I edit my HTML, but this is where I explore it, understand
exactly.
it, and make sure that it matches.
So the same web design you would have been doing in Photoshop or Illustrator, you should be doing that sort of thing. You wouldn't have been in Photoshop or Illustrator and said, magically generate mm-hmm. a website. Well, hopefully you don't. But.
And am I opening static HTML files on disk here, or am I exploring existing websites that I open off the web?
No, so right now you start in Reflow. We don't have the ability to do an import and start from there, although that's definitely possible. I should have mentioned Reflow is a pretty early on. We're in a preview state right now.
Oh, okay.
We're a little, not at 1.0
no,
quite
that's
yet.
No, it's still exciting.
One of the things that we've been doing and being able to take advantage of the Creative Cloud is we don't have to wait every year to release like we used to, right? There'd be the big CS release and then that would be everything. With Reflow and all the Edge tools and services, we're releasing really quickly. So we can actually iterate, get feedback, and go. And so, you know, I think we release a new build almost every month or so now. And so people can let us know what's going on. But it also means, right, it's not a full featured product yet. We're still building out all that sort of stuff.
So if I'm in the Creative Cloud, if I'm a member of the Creative Cloud, and I install all these tools with the Adobe installer, now it's going to keep those up to date, let me know when there's new ones.
Yep, actually, yeah, it'll let you know. In fact, I've actually got my guy running down here. We have a little Creative Cloud app. And if you guys haven't seen this, we're really starting to integrate a lot more things from Behance and our social, so you actually can kind of sort of get a feed of what you're doing. But all of my apps are actually installed here. It tells me everybody's up to date. It'll let me know when I've got a new update. Hopefully not as annoying as our old updaters in the past where, hey, knocking on your door every time. But it's also really, really easy to update or to install just the app that you want. Before, you know, you'd install the entire Creative Suite, come back 6 hours later, we'll throw them all down for you. But maybe you didn't want all that software. Here I could just go in, grab something, and you know, maybe I want to go install After Effects. Awesome. I'm probably going to kill the network here by doing all that. But you kind of get the idea that I can basically go in and pick the things that I'm after.
Mm-hmm. And what do I do with this now? Do I export that CSS and then bring that over into my editor tool?
From Reflow?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the good question. And that's why, you know, we're iterating on the design side, and we're very much focused on what the visual designer needs. But we're really open to figuring out what's the next step for this.
Right.
And so we've experimented with interesting ideas, like maybe a code editor can actually open up something like this and get code intelligence as they're sort of implementing it. Or maybe your editor, because your developer also has Creative Cloud, opens up Reflow and can actually explore this stuff as well.
Right,
so,
right.
So we're actually trying to really figure that out, but a lot of our focus right now is just making sure that the tooling that we're doing is really tight.
I really have to say that is such an intuitive way to do things. You know, it's a little visually busy, but I knew immediately what was going on there. Like, I've never seen this before, and I was like, oh, and then that's the width of the browser.
Yep. So you got the whole way. I can resize it to anything, but I can set my big breakpoints here. I think we even allow you to name those. So if you want to say this is the iPad breakpoint, this is the Android breakpoint, like you've got that whole idea.
And everybody at Build now can play with this early preview of Edge Reflow.
Yeah. In fact, anybody on the Creative Cloud can play with this. So.
Rock on. I like the name, too, by the way. That's pretty hot.
Edge Reflow or Creative
Reflow.
Cloud? Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a code name, and then Adobe let us run with it. So.
See, man, all of our code names are awesome. And I'm not going to say anything else about it. Cool. Well, are there any other Edge tools for web developers that I'm going to want to meet? I need to figure out how to get the Creative Cloud.
Yeah, there are a few. One I wanted to show, but you know, with a lot of the devices right here, it's really nice to be able to see this stuff sort of as I'm in the canvas, but it's really never a replacement for seeing it live on the device.
Right.
So one of the things that we've been trying to do to help web designers is get those things out on the device. Today, if I wanted to go and see something, I'd push it up to a website, I'd open up every single device, pick it up, go to that website,
yep.
And if I made a change, then I have to pick every single device up and refresh it. One of the things that we've added, one of the products that we have here, is called Edge Inspect. Now, what Edge Inspect does is it either integrates with Reflow or some of our coding tools, or it's an extension to Chrome, and basically what happens is that it just follows along with all your devices. So if I'm browsing something that's maybe even locally, it'll basically say, oh, okay, let me go and tell all those devices to update and follow along with me. So you can actually see it, how it looks on all those different form factors. You can see the different screen sizes. And we do a couple other cool things, like we actually open up a web inspector, let you play around with the devices as well, as well as even take snapshots.
So without touching them.
Without touching the devices.
So I can have all my Android phones and all my iPhones and everything all laid out.
Yep.
And they're just no touching. They're just doing their thing.
Yep. On the phone gap side of our house, we've got a giant wall of all the phones we've ever tested on. And so I think we've pushed it up to like 250-some connections. We haven't hit a limit on how many Edge Inspect can do. At least we don't think there is one.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can have as many as you want to be powered by that. But
that is extremely cool.
The other cool thing it does is it actually allows you to take snapshots and screenshots from all those different devices all at one time. So if you've got your design, you're ready to hand it over to the client, and the client wants to see what it's going to look like, you hit snapshot and bam, we just generate all these PNGs for you.
And they bring them down and...
Bring them down, put it on a folder on your local computer, and you can send it out there. Upload it to the Creative Cloud, collaborate.
Now I see something here called Edge Code, but I also know that you have a thing called Brackets. What is the difference?
So Brackets is an open source project that we started about a year and a half ago, mostly to just experiment with new ideas in a code editor. We had started prototyping a couple interesting ideas around inline editing and around like connecting live to browsers, and we started doing it in JavaScript and HTML because it was just easy to prototype in. It turned out we could actually build the entire project in it. So just like with Reflow being written in JavaScript HTML, Brackets is a code editor written in HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. Now, Edge Code is the Adobe distribution of that open source project.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
A lot of cool Adobe magic and Creative Cloud stuff we wanted to put into the code editor, like Edge Inspect integration or Edge Web Fonts integration, but we didn't want to jam that into the open source project.
I see.
So if you're a Creative Cloud member, you find Edge Code is going to come pre-installed with all the things that like tied into the Creative Cloud.
I see. So like just like there's Chromium, the open source project, and Chrome, the Google Chrome,
yep.
There's Brackets, and then the Edge Code is the Adobe
exactly.
Shift version.
And we have that same model too with PhoneGap, right? There's the Apache Cordova project, which we're lead contributors on, but then we have PhoneGap at Adobe, which is ties into things like PhoneGap Build and some of our commercial services.
That's interesting. The things being written in JavaScript, that seems to be an increasing pattern where but it's not in the browser. I didn't go type www.adobe.com to get there.
It's quite interesting. You know, it started as an experiment with us. We just wanted to prototype, and the web was great for prototyping. And when we realized that we can actually make this thing work and it's going to be performant, we started thinking, hey, isn't this in the browser? In fact, all of our original prototypes were in the browser. When we started going out and talk to people, lots of people kept telling us, the browser's the future, but I don't know if I'm ready. And so we were like on this fence about how far do we push. So what our strategy with Brackets and Edge Code and even Reflow was start at the desktop with what people know and maybe start to supplement. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of these things pop up on the browser with their desktop basically component. That way people don't have to sort of give up what they know and they may be able to try it. And so we're hoping to sort of pull people there rather than sort of push them off the ledge.
It does make me wonder though if JavaScript and HTML is the future of the desktop, like because there's WinJS and people are writing JavaScript in Windows 8. Here you've got a full app that no one would ever guess it wasn't Photoshop or an app from Adobe running in
JavaScript.
But there's something, I think there's, maybe it's generational, but there's something comforting about a desktop application, you know what I mean? Like when Quicken and those things and QuickBooks moved into the cloud, I think people are like, I don't really trust my money to a browser. But you put it in a regular thing, like, okay, that's a desktop app.
Yeah, and being a desktop app, one of the things that we really like, too, is it means we can be a good OS citizen, right? We can actually put the menus in the right place, and there's a lot of things you kind of give up in the browser, especially if you're focused on the you know, what the OS experience is going to be like.
Right.
But yeah, if you would have asked me, you know, 3 years ago if we were going to be building desktop software with JavaScript, I would call it shenanigans.
Now, there was a question before that came in that was asking that this is WebKit, so it's Chromium inside.
Correct.
And then you extend that in creative ways.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a really thin native layer. 99% of the code here is JavaScript with like 1% just to sort of bring it down to the desktop.
Okay. So a question from the internet. What about people who didn't go to Build who want Creative Cloud? What about a university student or someone who's desperately poor but still needs the complete power of the Creative Cloud?
Yeah, so the Creative Cloud's open to everybody, and there's great pricing depending on where you're coming from. I'm not going to quote the numbers because I don't know them all off the top of my head.
But I guess
University students have an awesome discount. I ran into a JavaScript developer just last week who was telling me he bought the Creative Cloud, and he said he hasn't even used anything yet. I'm like, why? He's like, it was just so cheap. Right before I graduated, I figured I'd buy it, and one day I'll figure out how to use all this sort of stuff. But we also do lots of discounts, especially for people who have had Creative Suite 6 and even actually older versions of Creative Suite. You get a much bigger discount over the year for your monthly fee.
So I own and paid for Creative Suite 5.
Yep.
I may be eligible for a discount.
Oh, you're definitely eligible.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you actually get a pretty discounted price over the course of the first year.
I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Rock on.
Well, thanks for buying.
No, I paid, dude. I paid. It's surprising, though. I think sometimes people who spend their entire year, 2,000 hours, 8 hours a day inside a product, will still complain about, I don't want to pay for that.
We talk to a lot of developers. So developers tend to be a little bit more price sensitive these days, especially because a lot of our tools are now open source and coming from that perspective. But if you're a professional, what we've found, especially making this big change, that professionals are really happy about it because actually it's cheaper. It's a lot cheaper than it was. And you can only imagine, like, if I was a designer or even a developer and I just wanted to access Photoshop, I'd have to go to some guy and say, hey, can I get $2,000? And, my boss is going to be like, get out of here, right?
Right.
But when we get it down to something like $30 a month or $20 a month, now it's like, you know what? Yeah, we can afford that.
Now, we've got Expression Blend, which lets people make animations and things like that in XAML. Can you talk a little bit more about what Edge Animate does? Is that CSS3 animations?
So it's JavaScript-based animations, mostly because we were really wanted to make sure that it would go back to all of these older browsers. We didn't want to make an animate tool right away that said, only modern browsers are going to be able to see this. Because there's a lot of things, especially in sort of ad creation, where it's important to make sure that the reach is there. So we actually have sort of our own little runtime JavaScript-based. There's a lot of jQuery in there, but it's basically JavaScript-based animation tools.
I see. So this is like for Flash people who are, very comfortable in that kind of world.
Exactly.
Keyframes and onion skinning and all the things that
Flash exactly. Great timeline support. So all the things you'd expect out of a professional animation tool is in there. If you are, coming from the Flash side of the house, we actually do export HTML from Flash Pro now as well, and that's actually all canvas-based. So you actually have a couple different options of what you're after.
No, we in the keynote and then in my talk afterwards, I talked more about having connections with other devices, right? Mm-hmm. And you've talked about having devices all talk to each other. It seems like we ought to standardize some of that because I know that we're doing that and there's live reload and auto reload and everyone wants that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir.
Do you think
I would love that.
Do you think we're all going to fight about it and then we're just going to see who wins or we could work this out?
No, I think we can work this out. I think we got some really good ideas on the table on how to do it too. But it's becoming really important. I mean, we got into a position where there were just a couple browsers before the browser war started again, where it was okay and maybe the problems weren't as bad. But once devices came on the scene.
Did you hear what you just said?
Yeah.
Before the browser wars started again. We're in browser war 2. You heard it here first.
Maybe I'm showing my age here a bit, but yeah.
No, I remember the browser wars, right?
I've gone through this once before.
See, this is good. We've got like a whole new line of discussion now because we're going to be like, I fought in the browser wars. I took an arrow to the knee in the browser wars.
I lost a lot of good friends in the browser wars. But yeah.
Yes. Sorry. I'm gonna do an entire talk now about Browser War 2. That's awesome. I was thinking about another thing that when you are a web developer and you're doing stuff that has to work everywhere, like there was a time when we would kind of fool ourselves and say there were three browsers. And now, you've got things like Browser Stack, and it's like, I need, Chrome 23 Snow Lion running or whatever, and it's like, there's a million things. And I've got multiple monitors. You have multiple monitors.
Yep.
But I've also got this Surface, right?
Yep.
Which is not a monitor. I'm on my giant three-screen monitor. I want to bring an obscure browser up here.
Yep.
And I want to just easily have another browser show up here.
And the thing is like, you know, a lot of what we've talked about earlier today is about like what it looks like on the browser, but the other thing is about performance, especially on those devices. When I'm building a lot of websites, I've never really thought in the last few years, like, is this really going to perform? Because they used to just be on the desktop. But once we started throwing them on different devices of different, you know, platform supports and whatnot, that's when it started to be like, I actually need to see this on the device because someone's going to get this, they're going to report the bug, and I'm not going to have the device, and I'm not going to know what it was from. So yeah, it is actually really important to make sure that we're testing and developing across a wide range of screens, as a wide range of devices. And
yeah. You know, one of the things that I think that there's, here's an Adobe product for you. We'll figure out the name right now. Everyone's worried about milliseconds, and they're doing all this micro benchmarking. They're freaking out about profiling. But I don't think they're talking about how much power gets used up. You push a button on one website, it does a jQuery fade and costs X milliwatts of power. And then someone else does CSS3 animation, it uses less.
I might get on a tangent here. Mostly, I think it's because users haven't connected the dots, right?
So true.
They look at apps, and they're like, this app is taking a lot of battery. But when they're in the browser, I don't think they're recognizing all the stuff that's going on there, especially as we make them more complex with like filtering and stuff like that. But I think they'll wise up, and we're gonna have to figure this problem out.
If all it would take would be somebody to make an app that would put a little, you know, red, yellow, green dot or something that just says, hey, you know, CNN is the problem. Everyone's like, look at me turning off Bluetooth. No, man, stop visiting that website.
Yeah,
that's your problem. Do any of these things use SVG or this? We're open web tools, we're JavaScript. Are you doing any SVG?
You know, at Adobe, we are a big part of SVG. We do a lot on the standard side of it. From the tooling perspective, not anything indirectly here. I mean, Illustrator is still a great vector tool with great SVG support. And I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff that we've recently released, like extensions for Illustrator, that basically let you go straight out to SVG and like do some sort of live design. But these tools are still mostly focused on the sort of traditional assets that we're getting in there. But
it's really interesting. All these different formats. We've got, you know, PSDs, which have kind of become a de facto format. Mm-hmm. We've got Illustrator. You know, Blend will take in Illustrator files, and you know, SVG. We're moving around to different formats. There's a workflow that's developing here. Like we talked before about MSDN developer tools on the Microsoft side, Creative Cloud on the Adobe side. The people's workflow as they move from PSDs into Reflow, into some kind of a code editor, and then into Visual Studio. It's really interesting. And I'm finding that for full-stack developers, they need to be familiar with all of these tools.
Yep.
It's not a bright line anymore, where it's like, here's the comps, dude, my job is done.
Well, you know, in the old days, and we have a lot of tools of this, we had these sort of the all-in-one tool, right, where we just threw everything into one thing. And the problem was is it did everything okay.
Yeah.
And so what we've been really doing is trying to focus on very small, focused tools that work well together, but the downside of that is then we end up with a whole bunch of different tools, and it's kind of hard to understand what that workflow is supposed to be. But I think the upside of like being very focused and saying, hey, this is exactly what this does, is actually makes for better tools in general.
That's true. If I have an established workflow, I might look at something like Creative Suite or MSDN and say, oh, okay, this is that, and this plugs in here, and I understand how that works. I know photographers have a very sophisticated workflow. Yep. It's all different. But as a new person, they're going to say, well, what kind of file? And then
Where am I going with this? Yeah. And that's something I think we can work together on. But the other thing is we also don't want to dictate that workflow too.
That's
we've
true.
Also been guilty of doing that too. Like, here's the workflow, these are the things. And you know, whether you're using tools not from Adobe or using tools not from Microsoft, we want them to all work together, and that's part of that deal.
Yeah, somebody said I met this guy at a party yesterday, at the build party, and he was like, where's the prescriptive guidance for Foo?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't drink, so I wasn't drunk, but it was one of those kind of like drunk moments. And I was like, dude, figure it out. You know what I mean? There's no prescriptive guidance. Experiment and see what makes you happy.
You know, a couple of years ago, we actually wrote an app for the Creative Suite that you would just say, this is what I'm trying to do, and the app would say, these are probably the programs you need.
Nice.
Yeah. So
like a flow chart.
Yeah, that kind of helped
out a little.
That's
actually a good idea.
Yeah. And so it was like, I'm kind of doing this, and these are some of the ideas that I have, and it'd be like, then you probably want this, 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 and this. So.
That's actually a really good idea.
But yeah.
I saw a flowchart that said, you know, I want to use a QR code. No. No, but I really, no. Just don't.
Sure?
It's not okay. Okay, so what's coming in the next six months to a year? Like, do you come up with these ideas and then you just implement
them? A lot. Because, you know, because we're now in a subscription model, we don't wait until, you know, the next 2014 giant Creative Suite release to release. So all of the products are now are just spinning up. I think most products seem to be, like, at least from our side of the house on the website, are at least doing 4 major releases a year. Some, like Reflow and Edge Code, are doing releases almost nearly every month.
Seriously. And the users are cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the idea is that we're really just trying to get feedback and change the product. Rather than go off in some like dark room and try to figure right. something out and then release it a year later and then find out, oh, it's not exactly the way it should have been. Mm-hmm. We'd rather just keep throwing it out there, getting feedback, changing direction. So
we've got 1 minute left. Does the name Edge mean that it's on the cutting edge and then it will graduate and have the name Edge removed? Because the Edge is a really cool name.
No, I don't think we're planning to remove the name Edge. It really just came out of trying to, you know, we had a very different philosophy when we built these products that didn't go with the rest of the philosophy. We kind of wanted to make sure that stood out. Yeah. That, hey, these are small, lightweight, modern web design and development tools. And if we threw them in there, we thought they might get lost. So Edge is sort of the family of tools and services we put around that.
Very cool. Okay, so everybody who went to Build has got the Creative Cloud now. So you can go up and check that out. For folks that are watching who aren't at Build, go check it out anyway. If you've owned a previous version of Creative Cloud, you've got Adobe products, you might be qualified for a discount.
Yep.
If you're a university student, you're definitely qualified for a discount.
And if you go and sign up for the Creative Cloud, a lot of the stuff is actually free. It doesn't actually require you
to pay. So the Creative Cloud is free to join.
Like Reflow's in a preview state, so you're going to get that for free. Edge Code is free.
So we can download Edge, and they don't have to sign up for anything, no credit card.
You just sign up, no credit card, you're in the Creative Cloud. There's a lot of free, cool stuff in there.
I like free.
Yep.
Thank you, Adam. This is Channel 9 Live, and I don't know what camera I'm looking at. Hello. Goodbye. We'll see you guys later.